Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Gail Hogan, sitting in for Ann this week. She's on vacation. If you love animals and you live in Central Ohio, chances are you've been to the Columbus Zoo, probably more than once. You may have even made the hour-and-a-half trip east to the zoo's neighboring 10,000-acre safari park, The Wilds. The animals might be on display, but what happens behind the scenes is a mystery. Until now. The new six-part miniseries called Secrets of the Zoo premiered at the end of July. It features the Columbus Zoo in the wilds. And here to tell us about the television program Secrets of the Zoo is executive producer Ashley Hoppin. Ashley, thanks for joining me. She joins us by phone today.
Thanks for having me, Gail.
I have to ask this first question. I mean, out of the box of all the zoos in the world, why did National Geographic come to choose Columbus Zoo and Aquarium and the wilds?
So we, as a brand, obviously, we focus on people who make a difference, who have passion and commitment, and we love things that are fun and awe-inspiring. So it was a very natural synergy for us when the opportunity came to collaborate with the Columbus Zoo, because I have to say, I flew out there, and the effervescence from the staff, from everybody, from the person who's the groundkeeper, all the way to Tom, everybody loved working there. And that, to us, it was like they were smart, they were inspiring, they were real, and they were fearless.
So fearless,
the collaboration, yeah, they are. I mean, they really, it is such a family there, and their passion and expertise for the animals is so clear. And that's the easy part in a way. But we have that kind of family connection between keeper to keeper, between keeper and administration, and then between the animals. I mean, they know each and every animal. They know what they're doing with them. They know them personally. They know how to make them happy. They know how to take care of them. So for us, it was an opportunity to really make a difference and to show that passion and that care that goes into a zoo, which is very different from how it was when we were all kids.
Mm-hmm.
These days, to have a progressive zoo that is so committed to conservation, it was a no-brainer. I mean, the Columbus Zoo is so clearly at the forefront of all that, that it was really kind of like, we're in. We would love to showcase you guys, love the work you're doing. And for us, it works for our audience who really cares about animals.
So the culture of the zoo was a big part of it after you visited.
Absolutely. Well, even before that, I mean, we'd heard about it. I mean, obviously, the Columbus Zoo is at the forefront of zoos in America. And I'd heard it was great, and I'd heard that people were really passionate. And when I got there, it's like, they walked the walk. I mean, it truly, you get there, and you cannot help but fall in love with the people, with the place, the way it's designed, the layout, and then the wilds. You know, who knew that there was this kind of safari in the middle of America? So for us, it was just unique and different and fabulous.
You mentioned conservation, but other reasons why you felt a documentary series like Secrets of the Zoo was important to make and to show viewers?
The conservation, I kind of call it the greater good. I mean, I think that when people go to zoos, there are various levels of interaction you can have with a zoo. You have everything from your small child in a stroller who's going and having exposure to animals, and that kind of, you know, just seeing and feeling and smelling the animals does actually impact us and lightens up in all of us that desire to help back and to give back. And then when you look at what the Columbus Zoo is doing, they give back on multiple fronts constantly. We have a story with a giraffe. They actually have a giraffe platelet bank, you know, blood bank for giraffe care that they help donate. They were kind of one of the pioneers of that. They have a cheetah program. They have so many different programs across the main campus and at the wilds. Again, for us, it was such a natural synergy because they are giving back and they are helping these species survive into the future.
And it's my understanding 3 hours, so 3 segments of the 6-part series have aired. What have those been about, Ashley? Just a summation.
Absolutely. I think that, the synergy between Nat Geo Wild and the zoo, the Columbus Zoo, is that for us, the variety of animals is extraordinary. So what we try to capture in every episode was that passionate expertise, but then also to really showcase the variety of animals that are being taken care of in unique ways. So in one of the episodes, we have showcase some of the manatees, and they work with a program down in Florida, and they got some rescued manatees that were brought from Florida up to Columbus. They were habituated, they were taken care of, and then once they were of the appropriate size, they were returned to the wild. So again, for us, like, that's kind of like such a winner for us. They come, they take care, they have the expertise to do it, and then they're able to put them back in the wild when they can be. We focus on, as I mentioned, the giraffes. They have a fabulous vet at the zoo who has been taking, she takes blood platelets from the giraffe to create a blood bank so that can kind of help other giraffes around. We have a story on the baby tigers that they have there, which is, again, very compelling. And through each story, you see the care, you see this kind of privileged look at what it takes to have each of these animal programs. But then you also learn a bit more about tigers in general or about whichever animal we're focusing on. We have Emmett the cheetah, who had to get some surgery. So that was another one where you don't think of it necessarily when you go to a zoo that these guys may have an issue that needs to be taken care of, but they've got the best that medicine can provide to take care of them. So we had that trust and that collaboration with the zoo that really we sort of said, look, show us everything. We're here to highlight what you guys do, and that's going to be, for us, the best kind of real and awe-inspiring content for viewers. And it's nothing had to be really produced in that sense because it just
was like a reality show in a way, wasn't it?
It is a reality show, and it's funny because, a lot of times when you're looking at the challenges that reality TV can present with the Columbus Zoo, it's like the biggest challenge we had was which stories to follow because there were so many. So we have everything from Holly Akala, who's a flamingo, who goes to get water therapy in a pool full of stingrays, and that's part of, that was part of the rehab for that particular animal. And you have this incredibly passionate caretaker taking care of this animal. They clearly have a bond. I mean, the flamingo, Holly Akala, dances when she sees Joy, the keeper, and it's just palpable. Like, they really like each other. There's this bond there. And yet, there's this care in the wild that wouldn't have happened. But you create these really positive environments for the wildlife, and they're obviously in human care. So that then translates to humans. Humans get to have that relationship. They can see the relationship. And in the show, there was nothing to have. You didn't have to coach anybody, really, because they just do it.
I mean,
They walk back and they the love for each animal they take care of. Each person kind of pushes the next person out of the way, saying, no, I love my job more. No, I'm so lucky. I can't believe I get paid to be here. I mean, that kind of effervescence, we just try to capture it. So
you talk about what people can't see behind the scenes. Did you do anything or focus at all on the entertainment part of the zoo, which is what the public does see?
Yeah, we did do some. I mean, there are, I think that when for us, it was kind of that moving back and forth between what you might call front of house, which is where people experience the zoo, and then the back of house, which is where you have this incredible army of people who are actually caretaking endlessly and adjusting the diet and the temperature. They're really looking at every single need for the animals. So we have one story about the polar bear cubs, that they're going to go and test the water for the first time. So you sort of see what it takes, you hear from the caretakers what their concerns are, and then you sort of pop out and you see it from the other side of the plexiglass, the side that the audience would normally be on, mm-hmm. and you can see they're coming out. But yet in the show, you get to see every single step it took for them to get to that point. So we kind of bounce back and forth between this incredibly rich world behind the scenes, and then we go to the front of house to say to people, hey, next time you go to a zoo, and specifically next time you go to the Columbus Zoo, and you see a giraffe walking by, that giraffe is actually helping giraffes around the world, possibly. Or you see the polar bears, you think, wow, the amount of care and attention it took for that bear to jump in the water, that's incredible. So just, I think, to me, it just adds for a richer experience for the person who gets to go to the Columbus Zoo to see the show, and they'll walk in there and kind of go, wow, that caretaker back there, that caretaker may have taken that animal home when they were a baby to help nurse them, to help get them strong, to help them through some kind of medical issue. And here they are for us to enjoy. And at the same time, it's the conservation part, which it's sort of, again, a win-win-win from my point of view, because it is a very, very amazing place, and we got to kind of capture what we could in a nutshell and put it into a show.
Well, another amazing place is the Wilds. And if you haven't been there, it's 10,000 acres. It's a conservation center and safari park. And it is affiliated with the Columbus Zoo. It's in Cumberland. Such worth a visit for a family visit. I was curious about your impression of the Wilds, Ashley.
I was blown away. Again, I think that when I first came to the main campus of the zoo, the staff really blew me away, and obviously the progressive nature of the zoo in terms of it really catering to animal welfare. And then I got to go to the Wilds, and I had no idea that this incredible American safari is there. You can stay there, and you stay in an African-style yurt, and you look out, and you might see a herd of, you know, bison going by. Wow, you're actually in America. So there at the Wilds, again, they have this very robust, passionate, awe-inspiring staff that is constantly adjusting to the needs of each of the animals they have out there for this experience where you get to go out in a safari-like jeep and you go around and you look for the rhinos. You might go out and look for, you know, the Pozalski horses. You might go just the way you would in a safari, and yet it's right there in your backyard. So for us, we were again, that's a very unique feature for any zoo in America. So we were very excited by that component of what the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium sort of brings to the table.
How did your experience producing this series compare to other documentaries that you've done? What made it special, different, more difficult?
Wow. You know, it's funny because I keep feeling like I'm saying all these incredible things about the zoo, and it's all true. It was such an easy thing. You know, for us, when we partner with anybody, you always go in, you're not quite sure how the collaboration is going to be, what kind of access you're going to get. One of the biggest challenges for us typically is that initial trust. And we sort of say, hey, we're National Geographic. Please trust us. We're here to really celebrate all the great work you do. And the Columbus Zoo was an incredible partner. I mean, they opened up their doors, and it can be scary. You know, you have an animal coming in, like Emmett the cheetah getting a shoulder surgery, and things can go wrong. I mean, that's
They are wild animals, right? They're unpredictable.
Exactly. And yet they let us in, and they let us capture it. You have, you know, some of the characters who we have, some of the zookeepers and the vets who we have on the show. They cry, you know, and it's cry out of joy. It can be out of fear. And it's very genuine. And again, that kind of access and trust right out of the gate made the show so easy for us because it was really, hey, you guys do conservation and progressive zoo really well. We, in my opinion, do storytelling fairly well. Let's get together. And it was just a beautiful, for me, it's a very easy dance to do. So I think the biggest challenge for us was there are so many great stories and so many great people, we can't do it all. And that was probably the biggest issue for us, was just having to hone in and follow a few stories, you know, from the beginning to the end.
Secrets of the Zoo premiered Sunday, July 29th on National Geographic Wild, available on some cable stations. If people can't get it where they are, is there another way they can watch this show?
They can certainly go on to our website at National Geographic, and we have all of our content on there. You can get it on to what we call kind of over-the-top streaming, so it can come on, it will be available on Hulu and on various other platforms. So if they're interested, go on to you know, look up Nat Geo Wild, and there'll be various portals there they can go to.
We're talking to Ashley Hoppin. She's the executive producer of the Secrets of the Zoo documentary currently airing on National Geographic Wild. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have a couple members of the Columbus Zoo. In fact, like the executive director. And he can tell us all about his experiences. Listeners, you can join the conversation. You can give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Gail Hogan, sitting in for Ann this week. She's on vacation. The Columbus Zoo is known for its exotic animals, but it also does a lot of work to conserve and care for the animals. One example is a cheetah, Emmett, who hadn't developed enough cartilage in his shoulder. In a new National Geographic series, Secrets of the Zoo, we see Emmett's caretakers making calls at time to test his recovery with a cheetah run.
Think we can run him?
Yeah. It gives me anxiety, but yeah, I think he's ready. The run will be the moment of truth.
So let's do it.
Let's see how he does.
The miniseries premiered on July 29th. It features the zoo's animal programs vice president, Susie Rapp, who joins us today, who was just part of that segment we heard. Also, Tom Stoff, president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and the Wilds. Welcome to you both.
We're happy to be here.
Thank you.
And we also have on the phone still with us executive producer of Secrets of the Zoo, Ashley Hoffman. Ashley, you're joined by these two.
Fantastic.
Susie, I'm going to start. Before we go any further, tell us more about that cheetah we just heard, what you were discussing on the clip.
Well, with Emmett, he was a cheetah that was born at the Wilds, and he had pneumonia. He was not doing well with his mother. We actually ended up with two cubs. One didn't survive. And so Emmett was a challenge from the get-go because he had so many health issues as a teeny, teeny little guy. And then as we progressed, got him through the pneumonia and got him through what we thought was the scary part of raising a neonatal, then we discovered he had the issue with his shoulder. And so it was just a huge setback. You know, we thought we had conquered everything, and we thought he was just going to be perfect. And then to find out that his shoulder wasn't developing was a huge setback to all of us.
And now, how's he doing?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
Emmett?
Remarkably, he went in. We work very closely with the Ohio State University, the vet hospital, and Dr. Jonathan Dice, who is the orthopedic surgeon, who's amazing, by the way. I have to put that plug in. He did the original CAT scan and MRI and noticed the problem. And then when they actually went in to perform the surgery, it was fixing itself, which he did say that would not have happened in any dog or cat or even a human being for that matter. It wouldn't have started correcting on its own. So it was pretty pretty new science. But it's what I say about cheetahs. Just when you think you know everything about cheetahs, you know nothing.
Tom, let's get back to this series. Why the zoo decided to allow Ashley and her crew at National Geographic into the zoo? There's got to be some trepidation there knowing that, you know, no filters. Here we are.
Yeah, I think it's very important for us to really explain to our community and globally why zoos matter. You know, when you talk about the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, it's one of the top zoos in the nation. It's been voted the number one zoo for many, many years, and we're very proud of that. We have a fantastic group of staff members that care every day for our animals. And so when you talk about going to the zoo, most people think about putting the stroller in the back of their car and loading up and having a good time as they meander through the zoo and they see wonderful animals. We love that. We want everyone to go. But there's so much more to why we matter. And it's really about global conservation and animal welfare. And so when we talked about this partnership with Nat Geo Wild, it really is to highlight the care that we give. And hopefully we inspire people to realize that the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, located in the center of the United States, really does global work. And we have experts here, and we're able to give back and really focus on animal welfare. So that was our hope. And as you can see on the shows on Sunday night at 9 o'clock, that's what's happening. You know, you're seeing the connection of our veterinarians and our animal care. They love their animals. They go above and beyond to make sure that they're cared for. And, you know, we highlighted on the first show, a manatee that came in to our zoo. And if it wasn't for the Columbus Zoo and the partnerships that we have with many different organizations, the animals wouldn't survive. The other great story is that animal will be here in the Columbus area at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium until it's able to be re-released. And that's a great story. So, you know, when you talk about why zoos are important, it really is about, you know, educating people, entertaining people. But for the top things that we want to really talk about in this show, it's animal welfare and it's global conservation.
When did zoos make that transition from entertainment to conservation, education, saving animals' lives?
Well, you know, we've always been focusing on conservation. The Columbus Zoo and Aquarium has been supporting global conservation for over 35 years. You know, we are supporting 70 different projects in 40 different countries. And a lot of the conservation projects are right here locally in Ohio. But we also go beyond our borders. And, you know, it's all about making sure that we can care for animals. You know, zoos have evolved over the years. I know when, you know, Susie's been with the zoo for over 30 years. And the zoo, when she first started working there, isn't the zoo that it is today. And same with me. This is my 27th year in the zoo business. Things have changed, and it's changed for the really for the better. Not only do we build now areas for the animals, obviously, but it's not just about their animals. We're replicating their habitats. When you go to Heart of Africa, you see these very large areas where we have mixed species, and we're able to tell a story. We realize that the majority of our guests, they're never going to get a chance to go on an African safari. So we bring that safari right here in Columbus. So keep your passport at home and come out and enjoy yourself. And you'll see 200 animals roaming the African savannas. And it really is not only telling a story about the animal and their habitat, but it's the most important thing I think we can tell is the story of coexistence. Because the main reason why we have troubles with conservation is human-wildlife conflict. So if we can figure out how we can make people happy and make animals happy and their habitats healthy, then we're all going to win.
Susie, you have been in front of the camera a lot representing the Columbus Zoo over the years, taking animals on TV shows. But this was different. You know, you had – yeah, and Tom, the same thing. You had people there I don't want to say 24/7, but really, it was like a reality show. Was it how different was ignore them at some point?
Yes, you do kind of ignore them, but I welcome it because I think one of the things that is important in today's world is letting people realize what we're all about. I mean, zoos aren't there. You know, of course, we want the guests to come and we want them to see the animals and we cater to that. But there's so much more to a zoo than that. It's, as Tom was saying, the global conservation is such an important part. Animal welfare is huge. And one of the things we've not done a very good job is telling our story. And I think, you know, I'm a firm believer, if you don't tell your own story, somebody else will.
And you can tell it better.
Right. And so we have taken that story that we're so proud of and we all work so hard for, and we're telling it. And I think that's the beauty of having Nat Geo Wild there filming us. It's, we have nothing to hide. You know, we're not hiding anything. And that's why I kind of like the title Secrets of the Zoo. These are just all the things that people don't realize, that we're not 9 to 5. We, you know, we are working 24/7. Tom has spent many, many nights at the zoo. I have spent countless holidays, countless nights. Our children don't necessarily look at the zoo the way we do because their parents are always being taken away from them for the zoo. We have a name for those children. We call them our zoo brats. And but I think it's neat for the public to see that this is our heart and soul. This is what we live for. And now guests get to see that.
Ashley's on the phone, as I mentioned. Ashley, how much preparation went into this for your crew and with the folks in Columbus that you had to work together? This was a big undertaking. What were preparations on your part?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing for us was to come out and to learn from Tom, from Susie, from the people at the zoo, what their reality is like. I think that for us, telling a real story is extremely important. Our viewers, you know, they can sniff it out. If it's not real, if it's somehow produced up, they don't want to know about that because that's not what Nat Geo does. I mean, we really do like to feature people who are making a difference. So that was the first thing, was just to make sure that it was that. And, of course, it was that in spades. And then beyond that, it was getting a sense of all the different moving parts, both at the main campus and out at the wilds. And so we could just figure out logistically, what can we cover? How do we cover it? which ones can we follow? So that was kind of the next part, but that was the easy part. The first part was really meeting people like Tom and Susie and the entire staff there and kind of going, wow, they're all on fire. They all love what they do. They all believe in coexistence. They all believe in global conservation. So that was an easy thing just to kind of tap into. So for us, it was just choosing the stories.
We'd like our listeners to take part in this conversation. Please give us a call at 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. So the three of you and I, how did you all decide what animals to feature? Or did it just happen that certain things were happening at the zoo at that time, Tom?
Yeah, so we actually have a great team that will sit down and they'll meet with our veterinarians, they'll meet with our curators and our leaders in many different departments, and they'll talk about the stories. Emmett was a perfect story. The manatee is another fantastic story. So there's many different stories. And then what they'll do is they'll work with Ashley's team and they'll say, well, what about this and what about that? And there are many things that they have filmed that has not made the cut yet. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be shown, but there's some fantastic things that are coming. You know, the show is still going on and we're still filming. And I think that it's wonderful for us to be able to highlight some of the great stories. The other thing I want to make sure is, it's not all about the big mega vertebrates either. You know, there's some reptiles that are highlighted, and you might see other things that that you'll see that's just absolutely amazing because people don't realize the care that we give. And you know, when we start talking about snakes, a lot of people will say, "Keep them away from me."
Right.
But we love our snakes, and you know, they make a big difference for us, and we learn from them as well. So it's really a great opportunity for us to highlight these things.
I would think, though, it's harder to develop a relationship with a snake than with a cheetah or something.
Not necessarily. No, you talk to our herps. Yeah.
If you would have watched last night's segment, one of our keepers, Tara, had a very close relationship with a black rat snake, and she it was very sad because she ended up losing that snake to cancer. But she was very, very attached to it, and you could see it. You could see her emotions, and it was very sad for her.
Yes, Ashley.
I was going to say, Susie's absolutely right. That was the exact same thing I was thinking of. I have never seen a snake cuddle up to a human, and she cradles it in her arm and in the crux of her elbow where she's got the head right there. You can see the snake cuddling with her as she's holding it and emotionally going through the eventuality of having to put it down. And it's just, you may not like snakes, but you're going to be brought to tears because it is, the relationship is unbelievable and the care.
Tom, let's talk about the wilds. How is that tied into the zoo, and how do they complement each other?
Yeah, so just a few years ago, we became the managing partner of the wilds back in 2010. And it's a great relationship for us because they're their own nonprofit. They have their own budget. And so they needed the resources that the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium could help them with. So I'm the CEO of the entire organization, which it also includes our water park, Zumbezi Bay, and our golf course, Safari, and then the wilds. So back in 2010, I came in to the Columbus area as the COO and the managing director of the wilds. And then in 2012 was appointed for the entire whole organization. So it's been really a great advantage for us to be able to look at what the Columbus Zoo has to offer and then look at the wilds. It's nearly 10,000 acres, about 1,000 animals. And it is just a huge area for us that we could not only learn from these highly endangered animals. We give them a lot of room so we can have large herds. That's the big difference between what you would see at the Columbus Zoo or any other zoo like San Diego or Brookfield or even the Animal Kingdom in Disney compared to the wilds, because we give our animals about 2,700 acres that they're roaming out at the wild.
So you're watching them more in their own habitat with their own kind.
Yes, and there's larger herds. And so it gives us the opportunity to be able to learn from that. We have researchers that are not only working with our animals, but they also have restoration ecology there because it was a strip mine for coal, and now it's a very lush prairie. And so it really is a win-win situation. And I think it really gives the zoo and the wilds an opportunity to lead. 40% of all zoos and aquariums in the United States can fit in our property. That's how big we are. Yeah, there's no
That's
other
huge.
Facility like the Columbus Zoo in the wild. So it's a great partnership. They were struggling years and years ago, and we stepped up to help them. And they're actually doing very well. They're making their budgets and having a little surplus.
So, it certainly is a win-win, I think,
it
for
really
the community.
Is.
Speaking of the community has always been behind the Columbus Zoo. I think you would agree that this zoo means a lot to Columbus, and Columbus pays forward, I think.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be what we are today if it wasn't for our community. The folks in Franklin County have been supporting the zoo since 1985. That's when we went on to our ballot, and really it's just saved the zoo and taken us to a level that everyone in our community is very proud of. We're able to attract nearly 3 million people. To our area. We're the top tourist destination in the Columbus area. People are spending time, many hours at the Columbus Zoo. They're inspired to care about the animals that we're representing. We have over 10,000 animals, hundreds of different species. And so we owe all of our success to our community. And we wouldn't be what we are today if it wasn't for them. And they invested. And we have been able to provide a great place for people to learn, have fun, and to be inspired about wildlife and wild places.
I think you would say, Susie, that you have been good stewards of the community's
money.
Oh,
absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of zoos around the country are very jealous of that relationship. But, you know, realistically, the Columbus Zoo belongs to our community. It's their zoo. And they take ownership of it. And to be a part of that organization as long as I have, 38 years and counting, as long as Tom will keep me.
She'll be here for another 100.
If I can, I would be, because I get to live out my dreams every day. And I believe the community feels the same way. It's definitely their zoo, and they're proud of it, and they should be.
We are talking about Secrets of the Zoo. It is a National Geographic Wild documentary that is airing currently. We're going to take a quick break before we talk more about it. And listeners, again, you can join the conversation. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Gail Hogan, sitting in for Ann this week. The Columbus Zoo and Aquarium and Conservation Center, The Wilds, get animals from all over the world. Sometimes these animals come from other zoos, but sometimes they come from neglectful owners.
Oh, yeah, they look great.
You're coming home! Are you coming to the zoo?
Yes! You already trained him.
Yes!
We weren't expecting these birds to be socialized to humans really at all. So seeing that bird being comfortable around us, and one of the scarlet macaws was really responding to music and dancing, was a really special moment.
You just heard a snippet from Secrets of the Zoo, a miniseries now airing on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. on National Geographic Wild. But also, as I found out, you can go to nationalgeographic.com and watch, and Hulu. There's other places if you can't get this channel. The series gives viewers a backstage look at the Columbus Zoo and its efforts to protect animals. Still with us, three of the people involved in making this happen. Executive producer Ashley Hoppin is still with us by phone. Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you.
And here in the studio, Tom Stoff, President and CEO of the Columbus Zoo, Susie Rapp, Vice President of Animal Programs at the Columbus Zoo. And thank you both for sticking around.
Sure.
So we just heard this clip with macaw parrots. Apparently these birds had been hoarded.
Well, no, it was worse than that. these birds were, it happened in Dothan, Alabama, and it was...
Which, before you go on, this is interesting that you're dealing with animals that are outside Ohio.
Absolutely. And these are, this was more than a hoarding situation. This was a puppy mill situation, and the gentlemen were being, they were basically busted, and they went in, the officers, and they found all these puppies and dead animals. And just as they were getting ready to leave, one of the officers stepped out back and he thought he saw movement. And there were all these small cages piled up with plastic wrapped around them. And he noticed there was movement. Well, there were 16 macaws, birds, beautiful birds, hyacinth, scarlet macaws, very endangered species, packed in these boxes. And the only food they could even find that they were possibly giving them was dog food, that there might have been some dry dog food that they were giving these birds. But they were breeding these animals. They had the setup where the eggs would just drop out and fall into incubator. Just a horrible, horrible situation. And we got involved because they were then going to take these animals and auction them off. And that's when Tom let me get involved. And we said, you're going to put these animals right back in the same situation. And Tom said, go ahead and let's get them.
Tom, what was your attitude on that?
So, you know, another reason why zoos matter. We do this every single day. We are the leading experts for animal welfare. And so it doesn't matter if it's in Ohio. Unfortunately, about 5 years ago, we were the first on the scene at the Zanesville incident where Terry Thompson let 56 dangerous animals out and completely loose. It was the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, their experts, that were able to save six of those animals. The rest did not make it. And it was a horrible tragedy. Not only did we care for the animals, but we also worked with the task force for the state of Ohio to make sure that that never happens again. We were able to help write the standards of care.
Yeah, I knew there was a new law because of this.
And it's because of that. And so now we are safe. We do not have lions and tigers and cougars in your backyard. And it doesn't happen anymore. And that was just one example. But to tell you the truth, when we have things that happen, like what just happened with the macaws, we are there as a resource. We're wanting to make sure that we can care for them. If we can't, for some reason, we'll find another facility that would care for them. The animals that we've had confiscated animals through the Dangerous Wild Animal Law, and we were caring for them at the state facility. That doesn't happen anymore because we don't have animals that need to be confiscated. But when they are confiscated, they're going to sanctuaries, and they have a great life. And so that's very important for us, to make sure people realize that the zoo, again, is way beyond just coming to the zoo and enjoying your day. We are really making sure that the animals that we know about, they're getting their best care.
And Ashley, I know you had hard decisions on what stories to look at. Conservation, though, was a big part of what you decided to focus on. Am I correct?
Absolutely. I mean, again, I think that, as Tom's been saying, the Columbus Zoo is such the forefront of it, and everything they do is for animal care, but it's also for that global conservation and the greater good. So for us, it's a question of trying to tell intimate personal stories that kind of highlight conservation, because it's hard to tune in, honestly, as a viewer and say, I'm going to watch conservation tonight. But you can watch the work and the people at the Columbus Zoo, and you realize like what they're doing for that animal is actually for that species or for the world. And it's such an easy portal from a storytelling organization like National Geographic to kind of tap into that and to put a face on it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see Susie with Emma. It's like that relationship is so clear. You can see the various keepers. You see Joy with Haleakala. You see, you know, the guy Zach out at the wilds with the Podolsky horses. I mean, you see these relationships, and you think, wow, this person's job is to spend time with and to recognize every change in diet, everything they need for that animal, and we get to sit there and tell a story. So for us, it's an easy one. And because, as Tom mentioned, the zoo is so tuned in to various conservation efforts on so many different fronts, for us, it was, we could look for the story first with the character. It would be the best kind of engagement. And then through that, we could kind of tease out the bigger picture and the global message behind it. So it was a great balance for us.
And Susie, that's part of your work, is to educate the public. I mean, you're an education expert trying to share the animal lives, but also the conversation. I can't say that today.
Sure.
Conservation goals.
Right.
Thank you, Tom's nodding. Yes, you got it right, Gail.
Absolutely. We want, you know, everything we do, whether it's one of our shows on Zoo Grounds, whether it's a cheetah run, whether we're out in a school, no matter what, we're always, our hope is to educate people. And, you know, my ultimate goal is I want you to love this animal as much as I do, because once you do, and it goes back to what Tom was saying, you know, connecting people with the wildlife, because when you care about the animal like I do, or you can see how you can care for that animal the way I do, then it does make you want to make a difference. It does make you want to get involved and figure out what you can do to help that species as a whole. Granted, we're working with individuals for welfare purposes at the zoo, but from, you know, the whole worldwide perspective, we're working with that species in hopes to make its life much better.
I've been in Columbus a long time, and I remember initially when Jack Hanna started taking animals outside the zoo to show on TV shows locally, and then it went nationally. There were people that were upset.
Okay.
How has that changed?
Well, I would say at first they weren't, because when Jack first came to the Columbus Zoo, nobody even knew the Columbus Zoo existed. And he knew real quickly, in order to get people involved, that they weren't going to come and see the animals. He was going to bring the animals to them. So that's kind of how that concept started. But then we grew with it, and it kind of did get a bad name, I think, in zoos just in general. But the difference between the Columbus Zoo is, especially when Tom came, he developed that department. You know, we are our own department. It is the animal programs department. And these animals, we have incredible skilled staff. All these animals are trained. You know, we just don't walk into an exhibit and grab an animal and take it out. These animals are trained for everything that they do. We spend time with it before we go to a show. You know, we're training on crating and getting out of the crate. So all of this process is, you know, we have 65 trainers that are working with these animals. And so it's very comfortable to them. It's very natural to them, because it's all about behavior. And, you know, it's just a whole different world. And now zoos across the country are coming to Tom and coming to me going, How'd you do this?
Yeah.
And part of it is, it's very important. It's very important for our community. And just, I'll even go one step further. We're very involved with Ohio State and their animal department, so much that we partnered to open this Center for Human-Animal Interrelationships Research and Education. We're going to have our first fundraiser in September. But that relationship, we're actually doing the science on the welfare of these animals. And these trained animals are definitely, and when I say trained, we're not training them to do somersaults and cartwheels. We're training them to be able to come into a studio or to go into
right,
a classroom.
Right, lights won't bother them
exactly,
and things like that.
Exactly. But we're finding that their stress levels are much lower than other animals and institutions that have no training. So we're very, very proud of the training that goes on at the Columbus Zoo. We understand the importance of training behavior, and it's very crucial to good animal welfare. And we're very proud of that. We're on the very cutting edge of that.
Tom, I think it's interesting that now you're starting to work with Ohio State. I mean, that is a wonderful collaboration, that both of these wonderful institutions can work together, should work together to benefit animals.
Absolutely. And we've had a long, long relationship with OSU, mainly in our vet departments, working with the experts with OSU and our team. You know, it's about collaboration. It's about making sure that we can give people an opportunity to learn. We know that we're having the best vet students come out of Ohio State, and we want to give them the opportunity. You cannot open a book called Elephant 101. You're not going to do it. But you can go next to an Asian elephant and learn and have that opportunity. You know, unfortunately, there's only less than 30,000 elephants, Asian elephants left in the world. they're in trouble. They're in big trouble. And we need to learn more about them to make sure that, you know, we can make sure that we can provide for them out in the wild as well. So their habitats and the grasses that they need to eat, their digestive system, everything. So it gives OSU an opportunity to learn. And we're proud of that. We want to continue that.
Yes, Susie. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Well,
no.
I want to ask you about your raising of animals. Is that a commonplace thing? You've done it for different animals. And Ashley, I'm not sure that you realize that that is something that happens at the Columbus Zoo as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ashley.
I was just going to say, as what you were asking earlier in terms of, you know, why the Columbus Zoo, I have to say that one of the things that really sparked for us was Susie's relationship with her cheetahs, with her animals in her program, and the fact that she actually introduced dogs into her world simply to be comfort animals and to minimize the stress on the animals. And that, for us, was very forward-thinking and innovative.
I remember that. You brought a couple puppies and cheetahs on the TV show when I was there, and it was amazing to watch.
Well, it's, you know, it's my gift. I believe everybody has a gift, and I love taking on the neonatals, the critical babies that are in a lot of trouble, and I don't ever want to give up on them, and I don't, and I hope that's what I instill in my staff. You know, you never want to let your guard down, but you never want to give up either. It's tough. It's a lot of work. I think a lot of people think, oh, you just shove a bottle in a baby's mouth and they suck it. Well, no, there's so many other factors that go with it, and in fact, I think one of the shows you're going to see here shortly is we ended up with three baby cheetahs that were born at another facility in Texas, Fossil Rim, and the mother didn't take care of them. And so I flew out and, you know, they call me, of course. So the Columbus Zoo will come and get them. And it's just the amount of manpower and time it takes is and skill is pretty high. So you'll get to see what it takes to take on these babies. And it's definitely my passion, and I'm very happy to be a part of it. But it's a process, and it's a lot of work. I mean, like I said, I give up. People say, oh, it's like having a baby. And I'm like, well, you can take your baby to the grocery store. I can't take my babies to the grocery store. So it kind of shows you how you work your entire life around those babies. But it's worth it.
Tom, I know that National Geographic got a lot out of working with you, and they have a show to show for it. What does it do for the Columbus Zoo?
I think it gives us the opportunity to have a platform to be able to tell our story. That's the main reason why we do what we do. It's about inspiring people to care and realize that the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium is a leader in conservation, in education, in animal welfare. And so for us, that's what we wanted, and that's what we're getting. You know, going back to what Susie was just talking about when she's talking about caring for animals, think about how talented Susie and her team and our staff, when we talk about the entire Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, we have 2,200 employees. It's huge. They are very special. They're very talented, and they've learned from Susie being able to share some of the expertise that she has had. Think about having it's a hard process to just try to put in your mind. Not only do you have to be well spoken, to be good on TV, to be able to tell your story at a library or a senior center, but then go home and not get any sleep at all because you're caring for babies that have to be fed every 2 hours. This is what they do. And that's just for the young ones. Let's talk about the ones that are not feeling well. That's 24 hours a day. And to get up, if you get any sleep at all, and to be able to go on to a show like we're doing today, this is zoo life. This is what our staff is doing.
And these are the secrets.
Yeah.
Secrets of the zoo.
Yeah, that's the secrets of the zoo. And you think about it, it's just, you know, I'm glad that we have the opportunity to tell our story. You know, we're a special organization, and we have diversified from water parks to golf courses to conservation areas. And but what makes us magical, it's our team. Our team is very dedicated.
Tom, thank you so much. That's Tom Stoff, president and CEO of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium and the Wilds. Also here, Susie Rapp, vice president of animal programs at the Columbus Zoo. And, of course, Ashley, thank you for being with us. Ashley Hoppen is the executive producer of Secrets of the Zoo, which airs Sunday at 9 p.m. on National Geographic Wild. Thank you all and the good work that you do.
Thank you, Gail.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher.